TED Audio Collective.
So, Francis, my social media feed looks a little different from yours. Mine is filled with, like, Philosopher Daily and The Secure Relationship, which is a great follow, by the way. But yours is, like, AV equipment and
ESPN and the Brownville, Maine deer pantry.
Deer, live shots of deer eating.
Making sure they eat in the winter. They get food. Yes. Recommend it.
But so one phrase that will get passed around my feed every once in a while is check in on your strong friend.
I have no idea what that means.
Which I'm going to explain and explain why I love it. But it's like, you know, you usually check in on your needier friends.
Oh, yes.
But you never check in on your strong friend.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. So I love this one because I'm sometimes that
strong friend.
Strong friend. Not always, but often that strong friend. But what I love about it is it's a reminder that the signals we send about being all set can sometimes get in the way of getting our needs met. And we can even confuse ourselves with these signals. And this phenomenon, it happens with friends, with our partners, but also at work.
It resonates so deeply to me when I walk the halls at HBS and, you know, who am I going to check in on? I'm now feeling very sheepish. I don't ever check in on the strong friends.
Yeah.
I have my like list of people. I just want to make sure they're okay. And so check in on your strong friend. Make sure they're okay too. I love it.
All right. Well, let's get into it because I think this may show up in our next conversation. I'm Ann Morris. I'm a company builder and leadership coach.
And I'm Frances Fry. I'm a Harvard Business School professor and I'm Ann's wife.
And this is Fixable from the TED Audio Collective. On this show, we believe that meaningful change happens fast, anything is fixable, and good solutions are often just a single brave conversation away.
Who do we have today, Ann?
Frances, today we have someone on the show we're going to be calling Caitlin, who's running into a problem I think a lot of listeners will relate to. Let's hear directly from her.
Hi, Ann and Frances. My name is Caitlin, and I work in an account-based marketing advertising company. My current challenge at work today is that I hold a director-level position, which I report to a vice president, who in turn reports to the CEO of the company. On several occasions, the CEO has approached me to carry out a specific task, placing me in uncomfortable situations as I don't want to override my boss's directives. I would really appreciate if you could help me with this. Thank you.
Oof. This is awkward.
I remember this. I was helping a company and the CEO would skip over their direct team and go to the direct reports of the direct team. And if you want to know how to make your direct team insane, did not work out. The CEO was not intending to introduce madness, but it introduced madness. So I love that the caller is so sensitive to the trouble. I think the trouble would loom really large.
All right. Well, let's see if we can't head off some madness in this scenario.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Oh, Caitlin, welcome to Fixable.
Thank you so much for having me today, guys.
We're really excited to get into this with you. So let's just get started. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
So I'm currently a marketing director at an account-based sales and data company. So my main responsibilities is crafting the strategy here in the U.S., also supervising a team of a content creator and a graphic designer in order to create all the branding of our company. And I also am in charge of communications, mostly external communications, and how we craft our storytelling.
To future clients, current clients?
Yes, to future and current clients.
Nice. Okay, so we heard your voicemail, and we want to really get into the tension you're feeling between your CEO and your direct boss. So give us a sense of what's going on.
So my problem today is that I have a really close relationship with the CEO. We're both Mexicans, and we have that culture understanding about how to do certain things, etc. And sometimes I feel like he's asking me to overstep my direct boss. Like, for example, oh, you need to implement this sales and marketing strategy without getting my boss's approval, or budget stuff, things like that, that it's always a conversation, I believe, with my boss. Sometimes, like, I don't know how to approach that issue. I don't know like how to communicate to both of them. Like, hey, please, like, don't put me in the situation that I'm in the middle. Like, to be honest, I'm quite confused.
I can imagine. Tell us like the last time this happened, just so we have some texture around the specifics. Can you just walk us through what happened?
Sure. This happened just over a month ago, that we are developing a new storytelling for a go-to-market strategy for 2024. And
for your own company?
Yeah, for my own company. And I'm all, of course, we're working between the CEO, the VP of sales, the VP of marketing, myself, and other directors. And we came up with a great idea, etc. However, the CEO approached me directly and he was like, okay, now you need to implement this company-wise. And I'm like, okay, but you don't have the buy-in from my boss. Like, that kind of instruction needs to come from him and not from you. Like, I cannot overstep to what he's actually doing right now. So I felt like very uncomfortable. I didn't know how to approach the situation. I didn't know how to communicate properly. Right. It was weird.
Yeah. The CEO walks in the room and pulls you aside and are like, hey, Caitlin. And like, what happens to your head? And like, what happens to your body?
For example, my relationship right now that I also have with my direct boss, that it's amazing. We have conversations every day. We talk about, like, when I'm not doing okay or if I need something, mm-hmm. the same him. So it's like, okay, I don't want to, like, break that trust and relationship. That's how I feel. I'm like, okay, but whenever the CEO, like, wants to talk to me about this kind of situations, it's like, okay, I appreciate that you trust me, but there's, like, your direct report is the vice president, not myself.
Yeah. And you said when you, in the example you just offered, it sounds like you did give him a little bit of this feedback, or that was going through your head?
I did give him a little feedback. I told him, like, okay, but did you talk to him already? Is he aware of this plan that you have? Have you reached out to him or set up a meeting? Can we, like, set up a meeting, like, the three of us? And he's like, no, he's going to be fine. So I was like, nope, this shouldn't be the way it should be done. So in that case, I just went straight to my boss and like, talked to him. Hey, I don't want to overstep you. He asked me to do this, but I know he wants this to be implemented, but I don't want to execute it without your feedback and your, like, opinion.
And then what happened?
He got a little bit mad at the beginning. He was like, what's going on here? Like, why is he doing this? And I'm like, okay, calm down. Nothing happened. I just came to you because I don't want to, like, damage our relationship. But he definitely wants to do that. Let's keep him happy, and let's find a solution between us two. And he agreed, and we're, like, reviewing the whole strategy right now. And we are about to launch it within the next month.
Beautiful. That feels like a super productive resolution of the problem. Is the tension you're feeling now that it's going to happen again?
Yeah, I feel it's going to happen every single time. Whenever, like, if we have a budget conversation or if we want to launch a new project, I feel like he's going to come directly to me before talking to my boss.
What's the relationship like between your VP and the CEO? Like, can you describe that dynamic?
They're very close. They talk every day. I'd say that it's amazing. I think the only problem sometimes is that might be a little bit of a culture barrier. And that's sometimes whenever the CEO wants to just express his ideas, it's going to be easy to come to me because we both are from the same country and we relate each other more easily probably than my boss that he's from the U.S.
When the three of you are in communication, how often does that happen and what's that dynamic like?
This happens... So when the three of us, it's great. We talk a lot. We discuss about new ideas, etc. But when it comes to execute something, that's when the CEO comes directly to me.
Okay. And you have no reason to believe that your boss has gone to the CEO and said, knock it off?
Not yet. No, I've told my boss, like, again, I told him, like, probably two or three times, like, hey, this is something that he asked, but I want you to be aware because I don't want to be stuck in the middle and lose your trust and his trust.
And what has been your boss's response?
That he really appreciates me coming directly to him and not ignoring him as a direct supervisor.
Yeah. Super trust building.
Yep.
What do you think, what's the cost from your perspective of not solving this problem? Just for you personally.
That it's hard for me to see any growth potential because it's like, okay, yeah, she's the person that the CEO trusts the most, but they're not empowering me to get a promotion, for example, or to find, like, another, like, how do I get into a VP or senior director level? I feel everyone's comfortable with me being very proactive, me being stuck in the middle and etc. But yeah, she's awesome. She's performing, but I don't know. I feel like they're not talking to me like, okay, we're doing this because we want to empower you more, and this is a path we want you to take.
Right, right. It's casual.
Yes.
It's a casual stretch assignment, not a formal development path.
Yes.
Got it. I just want to go back to a previous statement. You talked about some other attributes that define who you are in the workplace. So you're proactive, you're a problem solver, you're entrepreneurial. So indulge me in a little bit of self-promotion. So what else is on that list? Like, what makes you awesome to work with?
I'm always fixing problems. As a good marketer, I wear multiple hats.
That was my suspicion. All right, two more questions, and then we're gonna dive in and make some progress. Have you experienced this kind of tension in other jobs or in other relationships in your life? Or does this feel really new?
No, not in other job. In relationships, being a problem solver, yes.
And getting stuck in the middle?
Yes.
Is that familiar to you?
Family and friends.
Yeah. Frances, where are we?
We have a superstar employee. And as a result of her being so darn good in such ambiguous circumstances, she's being over-relied on. And it's got a sister problem, which is, you're so competent, are we overlooking your needs? There are two problems. One problem is your career path, which is that it's a little too vague right now. Like, it's not like, you know, I need to do these things in order to be promoted. So we could use some formality in the career path. And then the other one is the interpersonal dynamic. What's really interesting is that each dyad is really strong. So I see it as two issues, and they might be feeding each other, but I hope in our conversation today we can solve both.
Yeah, I love that.
Does that resonate?
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yes. Does that feel true to you?
Yes, 100%.
How does it feel to have that said out loud?
It feels actually like good. Like, it's the first time that someone tells me that I have the sister problem. And I'm trying to fix everyone.
Awesome. All right, Frances, you got a little momentum. So where does your mind go on solutions here?
Yeah, so I'm going to do the career advancement one first, which is, I think you want to schedule time, and I would do it in proper sequencing. So with your boss, and say, you know, I want to reserve time to very selfishly talk about me. And so schedule that for next Monday, a week from Monday, whenever it is. But I want you to code it. It's not, can I have a minute? It's an hour. And you're asking selfishly to talk about you. And then you want to talk about your career advancement. So I want you to stay as long as you can on that and ask. You don't have to solve the problems. In fact, ask your boss, like, what does career advancement look like for me? If I was more ambitious than that, whatever they say, imagine that I'm more ambitious than that. How might I accelerate that? So you want to, like, what does an accelerated career path look like for you? Because you're willing to do whatever they put on the list, I am sure you will do. But what isn't happening is that nobody is formalizing what those things are. So we're just using you as a great utility player. So I would ask, what does it take? And, you know, I think you're two titles away from the VP. Is that right?
Two titles away.
Yeah. So I would, like, what does it look like for the next one? And then I want to be a VP one day. Like, let's look at both of them.
So what's your reaction to this idea?
I love it. I am actually taking notes.
Yeah. Good. And then your coaching on the how, I think, is really important. Yeah. Yeah.
I almost want you to just imagine that you're your favorite person to do things for, and you're like, look, I want to make sure this person is thriving. So have that little bit of distance so it doesn't feel selfish. And you're striving for as much clarity as possible. So if they give you clarity, great. If they don't give clarity, you can ask for, so what would that look like? And just keep your follow-up questions so that you have the clarity. And then you can say, so let me play this back to you. Is this right? And then after you do that, Do you mind if I write this up and just so that you can have a sense of it? So you're going to do it through them, and then you want him to show it to the CEO. Even though you have a direct relationship with the CEO, you don't want to go to the CEO with this because you want to model correct
behavior. Yeah, it's a beautiful chance to reinforce correct behavior.
Yeah.
And I think, Francis, what I think you're circling and is definitely a very strong pattern in the work that we do is that for sure in a small professional service firm like this, no one has thought about this for you. These are environments where we have to provide the structure, momentum, clarity. And so, and this is the cleanest, most direct, most empowering way to do it, is to go in and start the conversation. At the moment you feel like you have the, you know, social and professional equity to spend it in this way, and then reinforce the kind of appropriate lines of behavior here is an awesome opportunity.
And I, before you go, I just want to say, it's not the add-on at the end of an agenda. It's not, it's its own meeting. It's for its own stated purpose, because I want both of you to get used to the fact that you have needs. You don't just solve problems, but you are a problem. I don't mean it in the negative way, but you too need investment. You're investing in everything else. And so that's where I really want to stress that formality. And then I also really want you to verbally be able to summarize it, say if I have it right, and then be able to write it up so that they can edit it.
I just want to underscore that beautiful observation, which is that when you are in that role as a fixer in a family, in an organization, on a team, the signaling can be to other members of the team that you're
all set
in terms of needs. And so your own needs may not be particularly visible to you if you're in that posture, and they're definitely not visible to the people around you.
No, I love it. And a lot of what you've been telling me, it makes a lot of, like, it makes sense 100% that I'm always fixing someone's problems, but I'm not being aware of what are my problems, but not in a negative way. It's just like, okay, what needs to be addressed for me?
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Let's go to problem two.
Okay.
I want to liberate you from feeling responsible for their relationship. And so here's an idea, and I'm interested in what both of you think about it. In your conversation with your CEO, I almost want you to say, great, okay, whatever it is, whatever his idea is, whatever, your answer is yes. He's the CEO of the company. Your job is not to get him to behave better. You don't have that kind of either formal or informal authority to change the way he's interacting with your boss. But so the tension gets removed from those conversations, and then you continue to walk right into your boss's office and say, okay, now let's decide together, is this what I should be working on? Like, what should be my priority? This is now your boss's problem to make sense of it all. And then at some point, he's going to have to figure out how to go to his boss and interrupt this flow of conversation. But that's not your problem in the meantime. And I want to...
Nor is it anything you have to apologize for.
And I think given your like talent and competence, which is like radiating from the screen, I think the risk of you damaging your potential or status or opportunity in this environment
super low.
Is super low. All right. What's everybody's reaction to this idea?
I'll let you go first.
It's it's amazing, like, just to hear that, yeah, and stop saying I'm sorry. Just say, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, okay, whatever. But then, like, pass the problem to my boss. It's not my problem anymore. And not trying to fix the way they communicate or not. It's, okay, I was asked to do this. I'm telling you where it should be in my list of priorities.
Yeah, you're my boss. Tell me, like, do you want me to put this to the top of the list? Number two, number three. Like, this is fundamentally his problem, not your problem. Like, that there's another agenda item that is now on your collective list.
And then if he ever expresses displeasure at the you being the letters being addressed to you, be like, oh, I know who you should talk to about that.
It's not me. It's not you.
It's not me.
Yeah.
So I think having the clarity in your mind that the dysfunction is in their relationship. It's not in your relationship.
But the follow-up is that dysfunction is not your responsibility.
And it's not your responsibility. Yeah.
I love it. I really love that. And you guys being able to tell me about, make me aware of this. You think it's just a workplace situation that you're stuck in the middle between two powerful men. But at the end of the day, it's not. It's something that they need to fix.
Awesome. Did we achieve our objective, Caitlin?
Yes, 100%. I really appreciate your time, your advice, and everything. Like, it makes now a lot of sense, like more sense of how to approach this kind of situation.
Tell us and the listeners, what's your plan?
My plan is to schedule ASAP meeting with my boss.
Yeah.
And what's on the agenda?
The agenda, it's how I'm very ambitious in how I can get to the next level and then start talking about what's the plan for me.
Yeah.
Awesome. Caitlin, thank you so much. It was such a joy to have you on the show. And I think this is a problem that's really going to resonate with listeners.
No, thank you both for having me today and for giving me all these amazing advices.
Yeah. Please keep us updated on how it goes.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
I will.
Support for the show comes from Brooks Running. I'm so excited because I have been a runner, gosh, my entire adult life. And for as long as I can remember, I have run with Brooks running shoes. Now I'm running with a pair of Ghost 16s from Brooks. Incredibly lightweight shoes that have really soft cushioning. It feels just right when I'm hitting my running trail that's just out behind my house. You now can take your daily run in the better than ever Ghost 16. You can visit brooksrunning.com to learn more.
So, Frances, you know I love young organizations. I love small organizations. One of the things that you often give up is real structure and rigor around advancement. And that can create tension, particularly if you're younger, particularly if you're a woman, if you identify as an out-group versus the in-group running the organization in some way. And so, you know, finding your way into that conversation can have a huge impact. In my experience as a coach, it can take a year off promotion timeline.
And what I find is that particularly for fixers, we fix problems.
Yeah.
But that means we have to present ourselves as a problem.
Yes.
Otherwise, nobody fixes it. So we only address, like, it's rare in these small, scrappy organizations that they're fixing non-problems. And so putting
yes, that they're getting out of head and thinking about a multi-year career trajectory.
There's always something else on the to-do list.
Yeah.
So we have to have the audacity to put ourselves on the to-do list. And that's hard for people who are used to taking care of other things and taking care of others. I feel like we made a lot of progress in this conversation, and I'm very grateful to Caitlin for the gift she just gave to us.
Thanks, Caitlin. You saved me on therapy for this week. Thanks for listening, everyone. We want to hear from you, too. If you have a work problem you're feeling stuck on, send us a message. Email us at fixable@ted.com. Call us at 234-FIXABLE. That's 234-349-2253. And now you can even shoot us a text there, too. We would love to hear from you.
And we promise one of us will identify with your problem.
Yeah. Fixable is brought to you by the TED Audio Collective. It's hosted by me, Anne Morris.
And me, Frances Fry.
Our team includes Isabel Carter, Constanza Gallardo, Joey Fishground, Ban Ban Chang, Michelle Quint, Corey Hagem, Alejandra Salazar, and Roxanne Highlash.
This episode was mixed by Louie at StoryYard. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And maybe share this episode with a friend who could use help to speak up for themselves.
And one more thing. If you're listening to us on Spotify, we have a question for you. Check out the episode description to see what it is and weigh in.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.